gathered together by thy providential hand. Oh, Lord, you've taken us out from the people of this world. You've called us with an effectual call, and we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And, Lord, we desire to hear the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, preached and proclaimed. And we know that our salvation is all of you. The only reason that we are to differ from anyone else that we know it's not anything we do, but it's all in you, Lord, and all what you've done for us. We glorify your name and praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. The name of the message is Fleeing Temptation. Fleeing Temptation. Genesis chapter 39. Last week, or 2 weeks ago in our study, we looked at verses 1 to 6, actually 3 weeks ago, because we had a power outage. We looked at the verses 1 to 6, and we saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And always remember, you who are the children of God, always remember that the Lord is ever with us, ever with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in, sometimes we find ourselves just in the midst of a massive storm of life, but he'll never leave us. He's ever with us, ever with us. And we looked at how Joseph is a picture of Christ and the fact that Potiphar placed all the affairs of his house into Joseph's hands. And he was the great overseer. And we know who the great overseer is of all the world and of all things. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if just pictured Joseph as the overseer in Potiphar's house, pictured the great overseer, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose hands, whose sovereign, almighty hands, all things have been placed. Let's read Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 to 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt again, all by God's divine providence. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So again, all this is occurring according to God's divine sovereign plan. All of it. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Every believer finds grace in the sight of God. Every believer. And he served him, and he made him an overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now we're forgiven of all our sins for Christ's sake, beloved. For Christ's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now we see in the latter part of verse 6 that Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. John Gill believes that these words are spoken of Joseph in light of what will follow next in the text. In light of what will follow next in the text. It shows Joseph's character. So Joseph's character is being brought forth here. And then we'll see why he reacted to the advancements of Potiphar's wife due to his character. Due to his character, which we see in the text. Now let's read verses 7 to 10. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now remember, I brought forth a few studies ago that Joseph was bought by the Ishmaelites and sold to Potiphar and then made overseer of Potiphar's house. And all this took time. All this took time. Remember that. He was 17 when he was taken from his family. And all that we see here has taken time. And now he's a man. Now he's a man. He came in as a lowly servant, and he performed the duties of a new slave. He would have done his work unto the Lord, just as every believer does, doing the work unto the Lord. And over time, again, it took time. It didn't happen instantaneously. We read these narratives, and we think, oh, that, you know, for us, we see it all happening. But it took time, beloved. It took time. It took time. But over time, Potiphar put him in charge of everything in his home, and he was overseer over all the affairs of Potiphar. Note the words of verse 7, and it came to pass after these things. Some time again had passed. Some time had passed. Now we see that his master's wife now cast her eyes upon Joseph. And Joseph was a young man. He was probably well built, probably good, you know, good looking man, probably. He'd been a slave for years. He'd been doing manual labor. So the scriptures don't really tell us, but obviously in her eyes, she desired him. She desired him. But we see in verse 6 that it's declared that he was a goodly and well-favored. And we don't know how long Potiphar's wife had been casting her sinful eyes upon Joseph. We don't know how long she'd been lusting after him. But the scriptures tell us that she'd been lusting with him. And then she finally says in verse 7, lie with me. Lie with me. Listen to this warning. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 6 and listen to this warning in Proverbs chapter 6 for the believer. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 to 26. Proverbs chapter 23. Or Proverbs chapter 6, I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 6. Sorry about that. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 to 26. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is bought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for that precious life. So there's a warning there in Proverbs. There's a warning in Proverbs. Now we know that Joseph was a man. He was human. And he had natural desires, and we know he's single. So this temptation is put before him, and it would be very difficult for him to say no to. But beloved of God, our great God has sent his spirit into the heart of Joseph, and we know that he loved righteousness and that he hated evil. We know that because the text tells us that. And by the grace of God, we see that Joseph did not yield to the temptation that was set before him. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 39. Joseph did not yield to the temptation that was set before him. And we see that in his answer to Potiphar's wife. Look at Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 to 9. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. So he said, I have everything in this house but you, because you're his wife. You're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? Now look at this. And sin against God. Note that Joseph knew that if he laid with Potiphar's wife, that he'd be sinning against his master, but more so, he'd be sinning against God. How can I, look at verse 9. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? against God. So Joseph knew, he knew that his sin was against God. Beloved, our sin is against God. And our Savior went to the cross to reconcile us to God, to pay for our sin. And praise God, he did it, didn't he? He did it. It is finished. But notice how Joseph is taking ownership that if he lays with her, that he's sinning against God. People don't want to own their sin. We as humans have a habit of passing the blame on. Well, it's not my fault. This circumstance made me do that. What did Adam say to the Lord? It's the woman you gave me. See, it's been happening for thousands of years, beloved. But notice Joseph takes ownership and he says, if I lay with you, I'm going to sin against my God. I'm going to sin against my God. He's taking ownership of how this would be him sinning against God if he did that. Notice he's not even mentioned that she would be sinning against her husband. He's not even mentioned that. All he's thinking about is, if I do this, I'm sinning against my great God. And he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So who did Joseph fear over man? It's obvious in the text, isn't it? Joseph feared God over man. Joseph feared God over man. And he knew that things would go bad for him if he refused her, and yet he knew that. He knew. He knew if he refused her, it wasn't going to go over well. And yet he fled this temptation knowing that he would be sinning against God if he followed through with it. So think of this. It was a sin against himself. It was a sin against his mistress. It was a sin against his kind master. But Joseph passed by all those of lesser consideration, didn't he? It would have been a sin against all three of them. But he passed by all of lesser consideration to argue the abominable nature of sin against our great God. And he's an Israelite. Remember, he's in covenant with God. So marvel at the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ, who's our great high priest, is the one who can be touched with our infirmities because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen to what the scripture says about our Lord. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He's God incarnate in the flesh, and yet he's fully man too. And the scripture says in Hebrews 4:15 that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, because of this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need. And we do find grace to help in time of need, don't we? When we flee to the throne of grace. Christ is God and yet man, and he's totally without sin. Totally without sin. He is able to sympathize with his people. For when he came to this earth, he was tempted and tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. And beloved, when he offered himself up, he offered himself up without sin. And he rose from that grave without sin. He's the perfect substitute. Oh, he's our great Savior, beloved. The Lord understands our weakness and our infirmities, our pains, our tears, our temptations from Satan. And this union with Christ not only brings his pity and sympathy, but also his divine assurance, beloved. His divine assurance, his support, and his deliverance. We have a great high priest. Listen to this. My little children, these things write I unto you. Believers, write I unto you that you sin not, right? Do you sin more than you want to? I do. Yeah, we do, don't we? Oh, my. We hate sin now. We can't wait till the day when we have no sin. Right? But listen to this. Write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a mediator, beloved, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one who never sinned. See, all we are is sinners. The Scripture says he was touched with our infirmities, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Note that singularity. The righteous. The only one who's righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For the sins of all the elect, of all the ages that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look in verse 10. We see that, you know, oftentimes we read this and we think, well, she just asked him the one time. Look in verse 10. She kept hounding him. Look at this. Now, we see in verse 10 that she continued to ask him day by day. And we do not know, the Scriptures do not tell us how much time has passed by. But we see it was some time, beloved. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He didn't just say it. She didn't just say it one time. She kept at him. She kept at him. And remember that Joseph had God's Spirit dwelling in him, and he, like any other believer under temptation, what would he have done? Like any believer under temptation, he'd cry out to God, wouldn't he? Just like we do. He'd cry out to God. God, help me not to yield to this temptation. Always remember that we as the born-again, blood-washed saints can come to that throne of grace that we heard about in Hebrews chapter 4. We can come to that throne of grace where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we are such a needy people. I'm a needy person. Oh, that's, we just keep going to Christ, don't we? Before the Lord saved us, we think we could do everything on our own. Oh, no. We take everything to the Lord in prayer, don't we? Lord, help me. Help me to bear this. Deliver me, we often say. You've heard me say this time and time again, that we who are the people of God, we know by experience that one of the worst problems of all God's children is trying to handle things in our own strength. We're all prone to that. We try to fix the situation before we go to the Lord. It's natural. And we are being taught as we journey through this world that we just to rest in Christ. Just trust in Christ. Sister Nancy, when you hit that fracture, you said, I'm just trust the Lord. It happened for a reason. I'm just going to trust Him. Well, that's the kind of attitude we should have. Okay, Lord, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. Just going to trust you. Just going to trust you. When we try to fix things in our own strength, we run into serious trouble, don't we? We do. We do every time. And the Lord's teaching us, isn't He? He teaches us to rely upon Him more and more and more. May we keep fresh in our hearts and our minds that we can do absolutely nothing without the Lord. He told us that in John 15. In John 15, he told us this, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and that's in Christ, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's John 15:5. And then Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. He's my strength. He's my refuge. He's my deliverer. Is it so for you? Yes. Oh, Lord, teach us just to rest in you, Lord. Teach us just to trust in you. So all through this life, think of this, all through this life, the child of God is being taught not to rest in our own strength. We're being taught that. All through this life. And let us cry out to our great God for help, for strength, and let us rest in his providence. When we find ourselves in a trial and tribulation and affliction, know that it come from God, and we are to cry out to him. We are to cry out to him. I know it's not easy for us when we're in the midst of a trial or tribulations. It's not easy for us. It's not. And things come up, we don't even expect them to come up. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? He knows what's coming up. He knows because he's ordained the situation to come. And we rest in him. And like I love what Joe said years ago to me. The hardest thing for a believer to do is just to rest in Christ. It's hard for us to do that. But he is our rest, beloved. He is our rest. May God give us grace to do so. So this wicked woman was persistent. Day after day, she tried to tempt Joseph into the sinful affair with her. But we see that by God's grace, and we know it's only by God's grace, no strength in Joseph. Left to himself, Joseph went headlong. But no. It's by God's grace that he's kept from this temptation, beloved. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. So now take note of verse 11. So again, some time had passed by again. The scripture doesn't tell us how long, but we see that time had passed by. How long? How many weeks? How many months? We don't know. Can you imagine Joseph getting up every morning and having to face that every morning? Her constant. That's what the scripture says. That it was caught day by day. Day by day. Look at verse 10. Day by day. She spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. We don't know how long passed. Could have been weeks. It could have been months. But we see in verse 11, and it came to pass. So here now, Joseph was alone in the house. And verse 11 declares that Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. So we see then that Potiphar's wife now tries to take advantage of the situation that's at hand. Look at verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So Joseph, think upon this, Joseph is a slave in the house of Potiphar. He cannot just quit his job. He can't just say, "Well, I'm out of here." Can't do that. He's a slave. He's been purchased by Potiphar. He can't just say, "Well, I'm done." No, he's owned by Potiphar. So he can't just quit his job and not be around Potiphar's wife. No. He cannot avoid that wicked woman. And she's not just asking Joseph anymore. Now she's forcing her hand. Before she's just asking him. Now she's forcing his hand. And she had a hold of Joseph's garment. And what was our dear brother going to do, beloved? What was our dear brother going to do? Well, we see in the text that he did the only thing that he could do. He left his garment in her hand and fled out of the room. Remember what the Word of God instructs believers. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says this, "Flee also youthful lusts." That's what Joseph was doing. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." He fled. He did what the Scriptures say. He fled the situation. Now let's read verses 13 to 20, and we'll see that Potiphar's wife finally realized She finally realized that she's never going to be able to break Joseph down. She finally realized that. She's not going to be able to break down Joseph's wall of resistance. And we know it's the protecting sovereign hand of God. And we see that her sinful desire now will turn to hate as she makes a false report. A false report against Joseph, which we will see has him cast into prison. Look at verses 13 to 16. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the man of the house, man of her house, and spake unto them, saying, see, being Potiphar, he hath bought in Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So she's saying that Joseph tried to take advantage of her. Well, we know the real story. He fled. And it came to pass when he had heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. So observe in verse 14 that the contempt on the religion of Joseph. Look at that. Take note, she brings forth that her husband's bought in this Hebrew. That's contempt for Joseph's religion. And she says, to mock us. Again, she did this in order to heighten the offense that she charged Joseph with. And is this not still true today with the Lord's people? Are not the blemishes or the supposed blemishes of the Lord's people always magnified in the carnal world? Yeah. Yes, they are. The people of God are treated the same way today as they were in the days of Joseph, of Paul and Peter, and the people of God are treated with contempt by the world. Contempt by the world for what we believe. Now let's read verses 17 to 20. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, again, the Hebrew servant which thou hast bought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. He's mad. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. So we see that Joseph is sent to prison based upon the wicked lies of Potiphar's wife. And again, we see that Joseph typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, as the wicked, unbelieving Jews could find nothing that they could accuse our Lord of. So what did they do? They brought in false witnesses. And Potiphar's wife is nothing but a false witness. She's speaking false things. And so the Jews, they bought in people that made false accusations against our Lord, made up lies, which resulted in our Lord being brought before Pontius Pilate and eventually led to our Lord's death on the cross. And we know this was all by the sovereignty of God. Everything that's happening to Joseph here, remember this, always remember this as we go through the life of Joseph, is all happening according to God's sovereignty. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now remember, how he was put into their hands was by false accusations, false witnesses. But we see here that all happened according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken in by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath what? Raised up. Raised for our justification. having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So let us never forget that our great God purposed that his son would die on the cross for his people. It was purposed by God that he would be the propitiation for the sins of all of God's elect of all the ages. And what we see happening to Joseph again was purposed by God. Was purposed by God to take place where he would eventually become, and we will see this later in studies, where he will eventually become prime minister over all of Egypt. Over all of Egypt. We will see the great sovereign hand of our Lord upon our dear brother Joseph. As we study the life of Joseph, we will see our great God working out his sovereign purpose in leading Joseph to the eventual exalted position in Egypt that he had appointed for him to be at. And we will see that position is a fulfillment of the very dream that we looked at, those two dreams that we looked at in the start of this study. All these things concerning Joseph that are happening before us is happening to fulfill God's eternal purpose. How do you think Joseph felt? He's probably wondering what in the world's going on. But he's trusting God, isn't he? Because he's a believer. He's trusting the Lord through all the midst of all this stuff going on. He's trusting the Lord. Always remember that the purpose of God is eternal. What God does, he's always purposed to do. The purpose of God includes all things. He's sovereign over all things. The purpose of God has the benefit of his elect for its particular design. Is everything that God has purposed is for the ultimate spiritual and eternal benefit of his covenant people. Also, the purpose of God is immutable. It cannot change. And it's sure, beloved. Oh, what comfort that can bring us who are saved in Christ. My counsel shall stand forever, or my shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, Isaiah 46:10. And the ultimate end of God's purpose will accomplish the eternal salvation of all his people who were purchased by Christ at Calvary's cross. Listen to these words. We'll close with these words. Listen to this. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, and a man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. What the Lord has spoken will always come to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, which is Christ. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion. That's in the church. Salvation's in Christ. In Zion, for Israel, my glory. That's Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 13. All praise, glory, and honor to our great God and King. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to look into your word. Oh Lord, as we see our dear brother Joseph going through these temptations and trials, we know that it is only by thy grace and only by thy restraining hand that he was able to continue, Lord. Oh, we pray that you give your people grace and strength. Strengthen us, Lord, in our time of need. Strengthen us in trials and tribulations. And just We take great comfort, Lord, knowing that you're ever with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, because you have loved us with an everlasting love. Glory to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.